It's good to be back with you again this afternoon, and thank you again for coming. And we trust that God will continue to bless as we consider his word and his work this afternoon at the conference. If we can turn to 1 Peter chapter 3, please, 1 Peter chapter 3. I'm just going to read one verse, just by way of introduction. And I've already mentioned this a couple of times to a few people today, just in conversation, in relation to our gospel work. But 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15 says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and with fear." We know that God will bless the public reading of his word this afternoon. We oftentimes use this little phrase in our gospel work, challenging people, are they ready? But I want this afternoon to encourage us as believers, are we ready? Of course we're ready for heaven if we're saved by grace. But are we ready for engaging with the unsaved about their need of a saviour? Sometimes we're guilty, and I'm guilty of it myself, to use words or lingo that we understand, but an unsaved person would have no idea. And it's an important aspect, isn't it, as we consider that we might know what words like justification or righteousness or even the word saved means. But I wonder, as we engage in our gospel work, are we ready to engage with people? Peter reminds us, set the Lord God in our hearts. And he says, be ready for what? To give an answer. To every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you. Do people see in us that we have a hope? I hope so. Do they see it when we go into the office, into school, into university, into Tesco's, into the doctor's surgery, wherever it may be? Do we ever give people the impression that we actually enjoy being saved? That we have something that produces the hope within us, and therefore they might ask us the question, what is it that you have that I don't have? And Peter says, be ready. Of course, we're not going to know every single thing, and sometimes people's opposition to engaging in gospel work may be, well, what would I say? Well, the Lord will give us something to say if he asks us, if we ask him. We'll not know everything in our Bibles, but brethren and sisters, we should know something in order to be able to relay that to an unsaved person. And over the last number of years, the Lord has laid it on our hearts, and in this year in particular, this thought of being ready always to give an answer. This afternoon, I want to concentrate on the gospel work at the agricultural shows, and this evening we'll concentrate on the other aspects of work that Gillian and myself are involved with. I'll also talk a little bit more about the girls this evening, but Anna on the right-hand side there is now 20. She's studying at Queen's University, and Lucy is 16 and is in GCSE year, homeschooled. And above all anything else, we're thankful that both the girls are saved and baptized and walking with the Lord. And we are so thankful for that. Soon after we moved south in 2000, and when we moved in 2005 and settled in, one of the challenges that we had was, how do we effectively reach into an area, sounds very similar to Seville, where 95 to 98% at that time of the population were Catholic in their faith or religion, where people just did not come into a gospel meeting, where you knocked on the doors and many people didn't want to know. The general perception was, if you're not part of the Catholic Church, then you must be a Jehovah's Witness, and therefore there was a few barriers to break down in order to build up trust with people. That does not happen overnight, generally speaking. And so you will notice from my physique that I am not an athlete. But I do know this. In the gospel work that we've been involved with, it has not been a sprint. It has been a marathon. And sometimes, particularly when I stepped out of sales and business and insurance world and into the Lord's work, there had to be a change of mind that this wasn't about numbers or figures. This is about faithfulness to what the Lord has asked us to do. And so one of our prayers was, and we were encouraged, sometimes we have a very vague prayer, don't we, that, Lord, save people around us. Save the town. What do these things mean? Whereas we were encouraged by the Lord to pray specifically and ask for discernment and wisdom. Lord, how do we reach people in our local community? And so at that time, the Lord laid it upon our hearts to visit our local agricultural show. I had been encouraged by reading in Precious Seed of the Cumbria Gospel Outreach. I know some of the brethren here at the time were visiting agricultural shows and others, and it was just as a young lad, it was something that was on my mind and an interest, and it was quite exciting when we entered into our first agricultural show in North County Cork in 2007, a bit of a ropey setup with an old gazebo from Argos, an old touring caravan, and we put on a multitude of literature on the table, pens and pencils. We got printed up our staircase in our hallway. You would have found pencils with Bible verses on and pens in preparation for this event. We had no idea if it would be a one-off wonder or if it would be something that the Lord would lay upon our hearts to continue into different locations. And we had an encouraging time that first year. That we then went to two or three other agricultural shows, and over the next number of years, the work was built up. We developed our stand with gazebos and a trailer, and we visited a number of shows in the southwest of Ireland. Most of those events were smallest shows, and didn't require a lot of manpower, maybe two, three, four of us that would have gone into those events. And areas, again, that predominantly you're going in and there's no permanent evangelical witness for quite a geographical area around. Presenting the gospel, distributing gospel literature, that was our heart, to get the word of God into the hands and into the hearts and the homes of individuals. Over those early years, there were some believers in the south. I think Zach is maybe here this afternoon, but his grandfather, Wendell Webb, some of you will know Wendell, encouraged us to consider going into a big event called the National Ploughing Championships. We prayed about that. For 4 years, I filled in the application form, sent it off to the organisers, and for 4 years, the door was shut. We got a no. Now again, as Carl has said, how do you react to that? You can say, well, that's really disappointing, and they're, you know, maybe some people say they're discriminating against the Christians and all of this. In actual fact, there just wasn't space in the event. In actual fact, and more importantly, I believe the Lord didn't want us in there at that time because he wanted us somewhere else. And yet in 2012, the Lord opened the door for us, and we did get into that event. And all of a sudden, I remember sitting in my office, and I remember thanking the Lord as I prayed, but also praying with fear and trembling, because all of a sudden we had been used to going into small events and small shows, and all of a sudden you're going to be faced at an event with a crowd like that. Now, I am a firm believer in whatever we do, we should do it right and correct and bring glory to God. And so as I prayed and thanked the Lord, I was also asking him, Lord, how do we do this? You know, how many trucks, how many pens do you take to an event where there's 180,000 people attending? Do you take 1,000? Do you take 10,000? And so again, we sought wisdom and counsel from believers who had been at different events like this over here. We went that first year, and the Lord blessed. The following year, we set up a small trust called Gospel Literature Ireland, There's five of us as trustees, and we're thankful for the Lord as he continues to lead us. So the work has grown from just being in the southwest of Ireland to now we visit, and I'll talk to you about the other events in a moment. But we serve a faithful God. But in a lot of the Lord's work, in assembly life, as in aspects of life, preparation is often what takes the most time. And so most of you know by now, from 2012 onwards, we've been distributing shopping bags. This was the 2024 option for people in that colour. I first came across the shopping bags, our late brother Alan Barber from Hartlepool. I was sharing a conference with him in 2012, and he had some bags, some cotton bags, ready for the tool ships coming into Hartlepool. And that was the start of us going down the line of the shopping bags. We started with, I think, 20,000 that year. The orange and the black is this year's offering. We've been able to coordinate a shipping container for the last number of years to come from overseas. And this year, there's currently 118,000 bags being produced in Vietnam, hopefully on a ship very soon for us to receive at the end of April. So as you know, there's a bit of planning ahead. We can't just decide in April we want some shopping bags because they take time. A lot of you will know Stuart Scammell. So Stuart is, there's 35,000 bags that Stuart will get in that for Wales. 25,000 will go to Scotland for the Edinburgh Tattoo Festival, and the others will be coming to Northern Ireland. It just means for Stuart and for the guys in Scotland and ourselves, we're able to benefit from the lowest price point as we get those made. But again, this doesn't just happen overnight. It's coordinating from behind the desk, these different designs, even in English. And this is quite an interesting thing. To coordinate a bag with King James Version on it, and also then to ask a man in Vietnam to produce the same bag but with New King James. Well, we would generally give out the New King James in Ireland, where again people aren't sometimes maybe foreign nationals coming in and for other reasons. And so to it's almost like a game of Chinese whispers sometimes, because you have to try and explain, first of all, from me to the supplier that we use in London, the difference between the two and why we want the difference. And then he relays that to Vietnam. They try and relay that to their quality control person. And you just pray that when you open the door of the container in April, that it's all been done correct. And so far it has, and we praise the Lord for that. It's also coordinating things like charity commission, safeguarding, risk assessments, applications to these agricultural shows. We're long past the stage now where you could just turn up and go in. And so, again, things that I would rather not have to do, like write a risk assessment, or things that we need to do, like safeguarding, keeping on top of those. And some of this, in our own mind, we feel we need to do. In 2018, there was a bad storm, and this is what we came into in the afternoon of one of the days. And so you learn lessons from this when you see three of your gazebos going up in the air, flying 150 yards, coming down, and thankfully not hurting anybody. And you go, okay, we need to increase how we weigh these down. This is a type of work where the weather is very up and down. And this was last year at one of the events. But we go prepared now to face this. And if we get some sunshine, well, then we're extra thankful. And it's a great blessing. But it adds a challenge logistically as you tow trailers and set up in the mud. Part of the preparation is also that each of those bags, for us, certainly as we distribute them, are pre-packed with a gospel tract or a leaflet, a pen with a Bible verse on them, and a reply card. This year past has been the first year that we've used the QR codes as well as giving an address. So this card here, let's cut it off there, but there's a QR code where people can scan on their phone, it takes them to the contact page of our website, and they can request gospel literature from there. You can see here just the packs made up, ready to be sent out. And since January 24, we've had about 55 requests for Bibles, for literature. And just this morning, as I opened up my laptop to prepare for this afternoon, there was another email in from a lady who has requested a Bible and some booklets. And that's, we're now into, January, nearly February, so that's a good 3 or 4 months since our last event. We start each year really going into the one show that we do in Northern Ireland. There are other believers that do shows in Northern Ireland. Our real desire is to get the gospel out in the Republic of Ireland, but we have access to the biggest show in Northern Ireland, the Balmoral Show, where we were able to distribute about 11,000 of these bags. You might ask the question, as I did, and sometimes ask the Lord, does Northern Ireland really need us to be there? You know, of all the assemblies and evangelical churches, and there probably are, I would say, another 6 or 7, in inverted commas, Christian groups that are at this stand. Surely everybody's heard. Surely everybody knows. And yet, came to the realization that we're now probably maybe 2, if not 3 generations down where children have not been sent along to Sunday school as many of us were all those years ago. So we now have an age group of young children whose parents and possibly their grandparents don't know the gospel. And a lot of people have fallen through the net of Christianity. And I say this carefully, but and I love the preaching of the gospel, but where an assembly's sole gospel outreach is simply a 6:30, 7 o'clock meeting on a Sunday night, and if people aren't coming in, then people aren't hearing. And so there's people that are there that haven't heard. And so it's in the crowds of people, most of the people that we come into contact with probably have not been into a gospel meeting in the last 10 years. So the challenge for us is, well, let's get the word of God into their hands. As Carl has already mentioned to us, that, and let's not assume that people know. Some will be fed all their life with religion. Many now are going down the progressive liberal mindset. Some have just been put off by different things. And so the Lord has clearly shown us that while we have access into this show and while he provides, that we are to be there, and we're thankful for the other groups that are there to share the gospel. Sometimes the Lord provides, well, all the time the Lord provides for what we need, Philippians 4:19. Sometimes, I believe, in his grace, he gives us that little bit extra. And the stand that we have at this show, the main entrance is just there. And we're here, and Marks and Spencer's is just there. Well, that's not where the grace stops. The grace also continues, because right there beside us is a lovely coffee stand. And they give us free coffee. So the Lord is good. But that aside, as 100,000 people come into that show over 4 days, it's wonderful to have the opportunities. Our approach at these events is really threefold. The first one is the distribution of the pre-filled bags. The second one is in conversation and explaining sometimes to people what John 3:16 is all about. The third aspect is inviting people over to the tables. We have 2 tables, one more geared towards older people, adults, one geared towards the children. Getting people over to the table, offering them literature to put inside their bags, a pen, a pencil, colouring sheets for children. It's always interesting to see when people come to help us, the different gifts that the Lord has given to them. This man here is a good friend of mine, Dennis. Dennis is a retired school teacher, was head of RE in a local grammar school for a lot of years. And I've seen him communicate with teenagers and relate to them that I couldn't do. And yet he has that gift and that ability. And there you can see just a group of teenagers standing around listening to the word of God. Producing Christian literature as well. Obviously we are able to distribute a lot of and amounts of literature each year. There are many wonderful things out there that are accessible to us all. The Good Book Company, for example, have some tremendous material and copies of John's Gospel, Luke's Gospel, John Blanchard's booklets, not only Ultimate Questions, but many topical questions. The Open Air Mission have some wonderful material, particularly on the subject of suffering. A group in America called Moments, excuse me, Moments with the Book, have some good gospel tracks, but also some nice little cards like this, pre-done. This one says, religion says do, and Jesus says done. And on the back of it, a little gospel message. Other ones as well. But then there's times that we are able to design our own literature, and I'll leave these on the table for afterwards. Fridge magnets. So we have different, mainly an agricultural theme, but we have, you know, we've got a cow, for example. We've got a tractor. We also came to realize that if you have a green tractor on display, you also need to have a red tractor on display. And it goes on. And I thought we had them all covered until a young guy came to us in May, and he said, have you got a yellow tractor? And I was like, yellow tractor, yellow tractor. And those of you that would know, he was talking about a fast track tractor, so I had to go back to the design board and get those done and printed for the next event. Horses, vintage tractors. But these are an excellent way of getting the word of God into people's homes. Now, I know a lot of people have integrated fridges now, but there's always something around the home, whether it's a tumble dryer or a washing machine, where people can stick the magnets onto. And it's a great way to get the word of God into people's homes. Picture cards as well. These are A5 picture cards with nice pictures on them, a verse and a gospel message on the back. And also just designing different gospel tracts, such as this one, Do You Ever Wonder About Going to Heaven? Can We Be Sure? And obviously for a religious person, I mentioned this last night, when you ask them that question, you'll always get, oh, it would be nice to know, wouldn't it? It would be really nice to know for sure. Well, then you open it up and you can talk it through with them. It's not too wordy. And you can talk through with them that God says we can be sure. And the hope that we have in that. And also the likes of bookmarks and different things designed and printed. And it's great to be able to do that. One thing that we've just produced recently is this little booklet here, Getting Started, An Introductory Guide to Reading the Bible. Now this, I haven't written this, I'm not a writer like Carl, but David Wilson, I mentioned David to you last night, David is in Waterford, and David had produced the content of this, really designed that if you're in conversation with somebody and you offer them a Bible, that's wonderful if they take it. But where do they start? And if somebody was to say to you, where would I start to read the Bible? Where would you recommend to read the Bible? And we would often maybe say the book of Romans or the Gospel of John, somewhere around there. But what this booklet is produced for, and we wanted to give it to people who will get a Bible from us, is a help of what the Bible is. What the Bible says, the contents of it, an introductory guide to reading the Bible, the structure of the Bible, I've just taken a few photographs of this, but how we should read the Bible, structure of the New Testament, and then on the back of it there, or inside back cover, there's the list of the books of the Bible that they can tick off when they have read. Just thinking and trying to think how the people that we're trying to reach think. The unchurched, the those that are lovely individuals, but maybe totally, if I can use the word, ignorant to what the Bible is. And so we feel it's a responsibility and a great blessing to be able to have booklets like this produced and ready for to give to them. The children's table, you can see Gillian there just chatting to some of the children, and again it's a great way to get the word of God out. Colouring sheets, pencils, bookmarks, children's tracts. It's hard to get good children's tracts, but there are some out there. And we always do a competition on the table, and it's a good way to get the Word of God out into the homes. That picture I just have as a summary. It doesn't matter who people are. You'll probably not recognize this lady here, but this is our first minister. This is our, I suppose, the head of our government. From a very Irish Republican background, and yet she was voted into government. And that's my mum there, and my mum made a beeline for her. I had to make sure my mum was behaving herself and go and take that photograph so that she wasn't arrested by the security detail. But we got there, and she got the work that she got a bag into the hands of Michelle O'Neill. And it's encouraging that she was seen 4 hours later, and one of her security still had the bag, and it was filled up. So right from everyday people, farmers, children, students, mums, dads, right through to politicians, we're encouraged, aren't we, to pray for those in authority. They also need the Lord as well. But also right down to the little kids as well. You can just see there, taking a colouring sheet home or a picture card. What a blessing. Soon after that, we start our schedule, and it's into the south. And some of the shows are larger. These ones are just smaller. We take a little 3-meter by 3-meter gazebo and the trailer just to carry the stuff. This picture was taken 2023. This picture was taken 2024. You can see the blue sky in 23. You can see the gray sky in 2024. And as we travel down to this show, this is just over the border in County Louth. And it was one of those days, and I don't know if you ever have one of these days, but I was just talking to the Lord, and I was saying, really, Lord, it's raining. And we're going to stand in a field all afternoon. Is there anything you can do about this? And even with a Greg sausage roll in one hand and a coffee in the other hand, it still didn't brighten up the horizon. But we got there, and we set up, and we were beside the Scientologists. Exactly. Who were advertising free stress tests. Maybe it's only in Ireland that these things happen. But they were luring people in with a free stress test. And as you know, in society, nearly everybody's stressed. And so people were flocking in, and all of a sudden they were realizing, and they were actually walking out more stressed than they went in when they realized who it was. But we were there, and as I said, it was raining and really questioning and saying, well, look, you know, are we to be here? And what a privilege it is to be serving the Lord, even on those days. And I want to just leave with you this gentleman here. This man was called Oliver. I would say a man in his 60s. He came up to the stand and spoke to Colin, one of our helpers. He'd never heard the gospel before. He said, this is new to me. And he said, I've got a question. He said, I've been given 2 months to live by my GP. He said, I went to see my parish priest last week. And Colin said to him, well, what did he say? He said, I asked him what hope there was for me, and he couldn't give me any. In the pouring rain, they stood for a good 25 minutes, half an hour. That was why we had to be there. We don't know if that man is now in eternity, but that day he faced a reality that there was hope. And there are individuals like him throughout the summer. I haven't got time this afternoon to go into each one, but people that come across the stand and they're challenged by something that they maybe see or wonder why everything's free of charge. And you're able to give them some hope and give them, you know, a John's Gospel or a Gospel leaflet. We then, we were talking about a Macedonian call. Three or four years back, we were at the Balmoral show, and some Christians from County Donegal came to us and said, we're believers, we're excited about you being here. We live right up on the northwest of the island of Ireland. We have a local agricultural show. Would you consider coming and helping us? And I couldn't that year, but you know the way when the Lord prompts you about something? The Lord kept prompting us, and the following year we went up, and again, a small show. We were just in a line of other stands, but a great privilege to be able to be there. Two stands down from us was the local fortune teller who was charging people 20 euros to tell them a load of rubbish. And yet when people came to us free of charge, we were able to tell them the hope of the gospel. And yet what's sad is the queue of people that stood outside that caravan willing to spend 20 euros grasping that somebody in, and I say this graciously, but in reality, a smelly camper van with there was nothing about it that was appealing apart from people were holding on to the darkness that this woman can tell me something that's going to happen in the future. And yet some of them, when they walked past us, didn't want to know. But yet there are people that do want to know. And that day, again, this is the second year that we've been here, but that was one area that time and time again people wanted Bibles. Haven't got a Bible. Have you got a Bible we can take? John's Gospel. We were also given some John's Gospels and Mark's Gospels in English and Irish, and they were very popular. And there was one man came up to my wife, Gillian, maybe halfway through the afternoon, and said to her, can I have a Bible? And she gave him a Bible. And then he said, look, he said, I've still got to look around the rest of the show. Can I come back? And she said, no problem. And when people say that, generally, you know they're not going to come back. But he came back at 5 o'clock. And he said, I've got a Bible sitting here somewhere. I want to take it home and start reading it. Praise the Lord for those opportunities. Another show in the middle of the country, which excites us. It's a one-day show. But again, we're set up there, two gazebos. I'd ask you to pray for this young man. It's back to us, young man called Ronan, 16 years of age. The first year we were there, when he was 15, he came up to the stand, and if you imagine that table, he just walked up and down, looked at the literature. Then he started asking questions. And it was, I'm going to use the term, it was like an annoying child that keeps asking the question, why? You know those scenarios, why? Well, it turned from being annoying to actually this guy's really inquisitive. This guy's really intelligent. This guy has been reading, and yet he was asking, why the Quran over the Bible? Why your God? Why, you know, why this? And this year, he came back to the stand, quite militant in his approach. The Irish mindset would be very much anti-Israel, pro-Palestine. So why is God allowing all of this to happen to the children in Palestine? Why all the suffering in the world? Now remember the verse that we read at the beginning? Your God is gender neutral. How would you respond to that? I said to him, knowing what he meant, but I said to him, well, what do you mean by that? He says, well, we need to approach God as they and them. So you then revert to script, you then go back to scripture, and he says, oh yeah, he says, but that's because you believe the Bible, and therein lies the problem, doesn't it? When someone doesn't believe in the authority of scripture, therein lies the problem. So after half an hour, kind of brought the conversation to an end. But he came back to us at the ploughing championships this year as well. And just, I'll ask you to pray for that young man, that the Lord would really work in his mind. You can see Gillian there just sharing the scriptures with a gentleman there as well. And there was one man that came into the tent, and we have this tract up on the gazebo side. You ever wonder about going to heaven? Can we be sure? And we stood and talked, He said, well, do you know for sure that you're going to heaven? And of course I was able to say to him, not through any good of myself, but through resting on the person and work of Christ, yes, I am. So I said to him, well, what about you? He says, well, when I walked in here, I would have said to you, yeah, I think I've done enough to get there. But now I know that I'm not. That's a pretty bold statement to make. So again, he walked away into the crowd with a John's Gospel and some literature. Wouldn't it be lovely if we were able to save people? But we can't, can we? But what we can do is pray for people and be faithful to the word. And as those people walk off into the crowd, We know that as the Lord has allowed us to be there and asked us to be faithful and given them, you know, a pen with a Bible verse on them, a gospel tract, the Bible, whatever it is, that they're heading home with the truth in their hand. And we pray that the truth would go into their heart and that they too would get saved. So the National Ploughing Championships, just conscious of the time, but we'll move on. It was in September. 244,000 people over 3 days. People sometimes ask me, what's so appealing about ploughing? And I still haven't been able to get an answer. Maybe if you're here tonight and you're a farmer, then it's something that you enjoy doing, and praise the Lord. But the ploughing championship started a number of years ago, and it was a competition between two farmers from two different counties of who could plough the straightest line with a tractor. And rather than just doing it and saying, right, that's it, done, they continued year after year. And it's now developed into this event, which is, so this is the ploughing, obviously, but over here is where we're excited and where we're concerned and where we're based. There's 1,700 trade stands in that area. There's 37 kilometres of metal walkway. It's one of the largest events in Europe. So we are somewhere in there. And so we go as any other business. We pay the rent as any other business would do. And we're able to go and set up our stand. So we take trailers down. A lot of my time over those, it's a 3-day event, but it's really a 3-week event for myself. Towing trailers down maybe 4 or 5 hours onto the site. We rent a bit of grass, which we choose. It's 13 metres by 18 metres. We put a marquee up. We rent that marquee. That is used for our own purposes. And then we build up the stand from there. So you can see the trailer going. You can see this was taken just as I was about to start cutting grass in the dark under the car lights just to get ready for the next day of setting up. We then continue to build the stand. You can see it there. We put flooring down. We put the gazebos up. And we're ready for the event. The 15,000 of the shopping bags that were pre-packed, there's a brother in the Lord in Northern Ireland who has some lorries on the road, and he very kindly brings them down for us, and also our faithful brother here, who we use throughout the week, because we have up to 16 or 17 different helpers, and it's important for us just to provide some nice facilities, even if it's a port-a-loo, but a nice facility for those who come to help us over the few days. We have 16 or 17, as I said, helpers each day. Some come for the week, some come just for a day. This is inside that marquee that I mentioned to you about, getting ready for the tables to go outside. We have literature that's here, and these are our bags that are ready to go. This is the stand built up, ready for outreach over the 3 days. We put flooring down because the ground can get very muddy. This year, I get excited about things like this, but new gazebo sides, where we had a tractor on this one and John 14:6, and then over on this side, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And you might say, well, that's just a gazebo side, but you know, but as people walk past, as as you hear the other exhibitors opposite us reading those, the word of God speaks louder than we could ever speak. Never underestimate that. We're on site early in the morning, probably from about 7 o'clock in the morning, and it's a wonderful reminder to us that the Lord's mercies are new every morning. Setting up the tables outside, children's table over here, one for the adults. That's our exhibition trailer that's set up so people can sit up in there and have conversations if they want to. And you can see the crowd starting to come from about 7 o'clock in the morning onwards. So again, same as before, the same approach, distribution of bags. I circled, each of those yellow circles represents at one time 4 different conversations that were going on. And again, I would estimate that most of those people walking past or engaging in conversations are from a religious background, never been into a gospel meeting, may never be into a gospel meeting, and yet they stopped and engaged in conversation. We were able to distribute, by the grace of God, about 10,000 pens, about 7,000 pencils, and as I said, the 15,000 bags, plus a couple of hundred Bibles and Gideon's, John's Gospels. And I'm not using, I would tell you the same figures if it was three of this and five of that. It's not about the big numbers, but what it is that we serve a big God. And we serve a great God. And we serve a God who has, for this time, allowed us to be going into an event like this. Engaging in conversations, some of those conversations for 45 or 50 minutes. Encouraging young people. We've thought tonight of the word discipleship or mentor, and just encouraging young sisters like Megan in her desire to serve the Lord. And there you can see, I often think of that as an Acts 8 situation where the Ethiopian eunuch said to Philip, "How can I know? Will you tell me?" And here you have a young sister just opening the scriptures. And this young girl here standing with Jillian, just wanting to serve the Lord, wanting to be involved in gospel work, expressing her frustration at times that it's just nice for us to be able to facilitate people to be able to come and have an outlet for gospel work and encourage them to go home to where they come from and to be able to do that as well. Sometimes, and again, you'll see the track that we have there. We have the poster, "Do You Ever Wonder About Going to Heaven?" up inside the trailer. It's just wonderful then to be able to, sometimes even just in that setting with the young people, talk to them about the gospel. Again, work behind the scenes. I'm not always on my phone, but there has to be somebody, and my brother Matt as well, making sure that everything's coordinated from behind the scenes. And we were thinking earlier on about the power of prayer. And so we throughout each day, probably about six or seven times, we will have different believers that are helping us, different of our team, coming aside for a while with the purpose of praying. And as you hear the crowd of people going past, just for praying that as the word of God goes out, that the word would be blessed in salvation. Fellowship and gospel work doesn't have to be here anywhere. It's a joy to be able to serve with the Lord's people. And fellowship is a wonderful thing. It's a humbling thing to see the Lord provide for this work, for any work. It's also humbling to see when people are able and willing to take time off work to come and help in gospel work, where it may be eating up their holiday days from work. It may be costing them financially to come and help. But it's a humbling thing to see the willingness of the Lord's people. And it's just a joy to see that of different age groups and that as well. Just as we come to the close, you know, as you go to an event like these, more than not, it's a muddy time, as you saw earlier on. We were blessed in September with sunshine, but even then, all 75 of those flooring mats that are a meter square have to be power washed, dried, and put into the store. And that can take some time, but the Lord always provides somebody who comes to us and says, "I'm not a public person. I'm not a preacher. I'm limited in what I can do, but what I can do is power wash." And halfway through one of those days, a dear brother came to me and he said that to me. And he said, "I want to thank you." And I said, "Well, what for?" He says, "I'm not that public person, but thank you for giving me an opportunity to serve the Lord in this way." Brethren and sisters, you may not be a public person. You may be, because of health or age, limited, you feel, in what you can do for the Lord. But I want to encourage you tonight, as we come to the end of this first session, there is a work for God for you to do. He will show you. You're not finished yet. Where would we be without the older saints? But for the younger ones, the Lord's work needs laborers. It needs those who are willing to make themselves available, to draw alongside others, to learn from others, to be mentored, to be discipled. And it may not be that you have an opportunity to come to Northern Ireland. If you can, praise the Lord. But it might be that close by, there's somebody that you can draw alongside to and learn from them and listen from them and serve the Lord in that way. We're able to put a container onto the site at the Beacon, which I'll tell you about tonight, and that stores different things. You can see Jillian here, and our youngest daughter, Lucy. Both girls are a blessing to us. We're thankful for their desire to help in this. We'll talk about this tonight, but calendar work as well, putting them out into areas of quite nationalist and Catholic areas around the area. Thank you for your interest in praying for this work. Some of the samples that I've mentioned are here at the front, and we trust that the Lord will be honored in what you've heard this afternoon, and that his work will continue, because it is his work, and we're very careful to acknowledge that this evening. Amen.